Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to God's Purpose Ministry, where I am your servant leader and host, Pastor Olivia DeLoach. God bless you, beloved. How are you? Yes, it is Wednesday again, April the 11th, a Wednesday that has come and we'll never see again. Bless you, bless you, bless you. And just let me thank each and every one of you who have joined in on this call. Yes, yes, yes. We are going to continue out this week with the book by Bishop T.D. Jakes, Strength to Stand. Yes, we are reading out of Strength to Stand, and it has truly blessed my heart and my spirit, man, and I pray that it has blessed you as well. Tonight we will be studying the power of praise and intimacy in worship. Yes, yes, the power of praise. And you know, in the church, the house of faith, amongst the children of God, we love that word praise. We said we come to praise the Lord. When someone said praise the Lord, we respond back, praise the Lord. Someone says praise the Lord, Lord, we respond back, hallelujah. And so anyone said, are you a worshiper, a praiser? We are a praiser, and we are a worshiper. But let's just go back to some basics. You know, I like to go back to the little basics and see what truly is praise and worship, where we are. So tell someone, attitude check tonight. Tell yourself, we're going to check and see really where we are. But before we get started, I always like to do our declaration. And tonight declaration, if you want to do a declaration, it says, I declare there is an anointing of ease on my life. Repeat that. I declare there is an anointing of ease on my life. God is going before me, making crooked places straight. Yes. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I will not continually struggle. Come on now. Get that. What used to be difficult will not be difficult anymore. God's favor and blessings all my life is lightening the load and taking the pressure off. This is my declaration. Yes, beloved, the anointing of God is ease on my life, and God is going before us, making crooked places straight, and his yoke is easy, and his burden is light, and we will not, or at least I will not continue to struggle, and what is used to be difficult is not going to be difficult anymore. Why? Because God's favor and blessing us all my life, huh? And it's lightening the load and it's taking the pressure off. Amen. That is my declaration. And I pray that it is yours too. But we want to get back to it's allergy season. That's where my voice keeps going in and out. And by Bishop Jakes. Tonight, as I said, is the power of praise and worship. And I love to read about praise and worship and study about it. So, as say it always, pen, tablet, paper, whatever, however you take your notes, phone, iPhone, however you take your notes, because I want you for yourself to always and go back to read the Word of God for yourself. But we're going to start off with Psalms 34, one of my favorite scriptures I do love and have for a long time. And we're going to, if you'll allow me, to read verses 1 through 5. Psalms 34, verses 1 through 5. And it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Then it come back and say, beloved, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Come on now, magnify the Lord with me means to enlarge. Amen. We want to enlarge him. We want to make great. We want to lift him up. Praise is magnifying and exalting the Lord in our hearts, beloved. Praise is glorifying the Lord with the fruit of our lips. When we begin to praise God with our heart, we lose sight of the magnitude of our problems as we gain the vision of greatness in our Lord. What I want to stop right there, and I wanted to share, and it was in my heart to share this. Even though we may know great depth about praise, but let's go back again. I said, let's do an attitude check. Let's go back and check ourselves with praise, and let's get a grab a hold if, for those who need to get a new love for praise, a new love for worship, a new attitude of gratitude for the Lord God. Amen. And I want you just to put on your spiritual ears tonight and hear, because if you're in that dry place or you're not praising the Lord like you should, we want to be able to move. We want to be able to get the deliverance that we need. Praise God. Amen. In order to truly praise God, we must learn to go beyond ourselves and our human limitation. Come on. Meaning you may not feel like praising them all the time. Many times when the enemies of Israel encamped around them, God told Joshua, go read the book of Joshua, beloved. It will bless your socks. I promise you it will. To send out the tribe of Judah first. Okay, this is what he told them. And Judah means praise. The word Judah means praise. Judah marched before the enemies of Israel, armed with nothing but instruments of praise. They didn't have a gun. They didn't have a knife. They didn't have a cannon. They didn't have nuclear weapons. All they had was instruments and a praise in their mouth, okay? When the tribe of Judah began to praise God, come on, with their whole heart, they was just not praising him with their lips. That's why I said sometimes we just say stuff, but it's not coming from our heart. They praised him not from just their heart, but from their whole heart. God set ambushes. Look at here. This, I want you to look at key words tonight and write down when you catch these words in your spirit. When they praised God, when they praised Almighty, the Father God, with their whole heart, Father God set ambush. You know what an ambush is? Among the enemy and confuse them. Not only did they get ambushed, they got confused. Come on. He confused them. The same principle, beloved, happens in the spirit realm. When we really begin to praise God, our praises confounds the enemy. Come on. And the demonic, come hear what it say. Not just your enemy, but the demonic forces begin to withdraw their powers and their influence. There is no power. There is no influence. God set up ambushes and confusing them, and they lose their power. They lose their influence in your life. When you begin to praise the Lord with your whole heart, you stop the enemy dead in his track. The scripture, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5, read like this. For though we walk in flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, meaning flesh, human, but mighty in God for the pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Come on. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Wow. Wow. Beloved, praise and worship is the most profound way of expressing our love to the Father, to Father God. God loves to be praised and worship. See, so, and listen, we said praise and worship. So that tells me they're not the same. They're two different entities. Praise and worship. He loved that. However, in order to praise God, we must understand the power that praise and worship wield. Praise and worship can break, listen, praise and worship can break demonic strongholds that have us bound. Come on. Praise and the word of God. Come on, listen. Praise and the word of God are able to pull down strongholds. There is a power in praise and worship. Oh, you just ain't out there making noise. People talking about you just jumping and jacking and bumping and screaming and hollering. But come on here. It's power in praise and worship. Let us pause right here to examine this concept as a praise as a weapon against the spiritual stronghold, beloved. Okay? Amen. First, let us define strongholds. Strongholds are roadblocks. Yes, roadblocks or stumbling blocks that prevent God's people from truly releasing themselves in praise, worship to God. So when you find it hard to praise the Lord, or we'll get there. I don't want to get ahead of myself. When you walk in the house and they have to, as they hear, they be saying, pump and prime you. There's some roadblocks. There's some strongholds in the midst. God's people from truly releasing themselves to praise and worship. That's what these roadblocks do. There are many strongholds, but we will only talk about a couple of them, okay? The erection of strongholds take place in our thought process. You know, they always talk about our mind. How to guard our mind. For example, suppose you were visiting a new church where their method of praise and worship is somewhat different from yours. Come on, y'all know where I'm going with this. Let's be honest with ourselves. Immediately, your mind tells you that their way is wrong, or worse still, that they are not saved. You know you do it. If you're not doing, you done it. All right? Or if you're having, you will. This is a stronghold. To be thinking like that, that's a stronghold. Tell yourself, change the stinking thinking, okay? Remember that a stronghold, listen, remember that a stronghold is a belief system that's contrary to what God's word says. Yes. You see, in this case, your church has spoken against being too expressive. And we know there are some churches that it don't take all that. We don't have to be quiet, loud. Just be quiet, be still. God knows he's not, hard of hearing, all that. To them, praise and worship does not have to be loud or noisy. Okay? I just love that Bishop Jake's doing a teaching on this. 2 Samuel 6:5 says this, "Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord of all kinds of instruments, of fir on harps and string instruments and tambourines and sistrums and cymbals." Look, if all that was going on in the house, tell somebody, in the house, it was not quiet, beloved. Okay. He said, "I have noticed that many people in the church do not know how to worship or praise the Father. Are we worshiping right? Are we praising Father God right? We get nervous when someone doing service get too loud and start worshiping God different from the normal style. You know how we do it. We'll give you a look. We'll stand there and drop our look over our glass or go, move over something, right? The devil is alive. Come on, we know how to do it. We want to worship God in low voices, and that's only on Sunday mornings in our lofty buildings. Some of us, not all of us. If this don't pertain to you, don't say nothing. If it do, say ouch. We must appear respectable in our worship. But in the clubs, come on, oh, who been out there? I have. I can talk about me. But in the clubs or at baseball games and football games, the same people will yell and make as much noise as they can without getting the least bit nervous or losing their respectability. You know it. You know it when your favorite team, you know it. Don't put no money on it for those who like to bet. Come on. The Lord loves to hear us praise. Damn, let me say that again. The Lord loves to hear us praise his holy name and doesn't get nervous. No, he has no nervous condition when we either become too loud or too quiet. It is we who discriminate about how to praise God. We must be very cautious about this area in our life, beloved. If we allow Satan to build up strongholds, come on, we create more roadblocks in our minds that prevent us from praising God freely. Someone once said a free person is a dangerous person because he does not allow anyone to dictate what he says or she says or does except God. Isn't that the place to be? Isn't that we want to be free? The scripture said, whom the Son set free is free indeed, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I want to be in such freedom that no man or woman can dictate to me. It's all about Jesus, all about God, amen? It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for salvation of the Lord. Now, that's in Lamentations, 3rd chapter, 26th verse. So if you're looking for quietness, it is good. If you're that quiet person, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Once the believers, beloved, listen, understand how Satan used strongholds to keep them from releasing themselves in praise and worship, they are better prepared to use their weapons of praise and worship. Someone once said this, we must understand that the area of thought is both the first and final battlefield. Joyce Meyer came out with that book, Battlefield of the Mind. Oh, I've taught that several times and to some classes, and I tell you, it is something. It begins with the mind before it goes to any other part or area of us. Hence, Satan fights us in our minds to such great extent. It's in our minds, beloved. Protect, guard your mind. Now, what is praise? Praise is replacing your thought. See, we think it's all jumping up and down. Ah, no, no, no. Looky, looky. We think it's all jumping up and down and singing and stuff, but praise is replacing your thoughts and the enemy's thoughts with the thoughts of God. That's praise, huh? The word of God, the name of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus are weapons of God that transform and change our thoughts. Oh, listen, although many people may not realize this truth, a tremendous amount of power is released when praise is offered to God. So all too often, we take this weapon up for granted. Imagine that what David must have felt as he composed his Psalms. When you take God's thoughts and enter into praise, you become like a battering ram against the strongholds that Satan has erected in your mind. Oh, listen, listen, listen. Change your thinking. Change your thinking. Psalms 27:6 read this, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. To the end of my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent, O Lord, my God. I will give thanks to you forever. Now, that was Psalms 30:12. Sorry, I didn't say that. Psalms 59:17 say, to you, O my strength, I will sing praises, for God is my defense, my God of mercy. And oh, my favorite, Psalms 104. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his court with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. And Psalms 113:3 says this, from the rising of the sun to the going down, the Lord's name shall be praised. Wow. Another stronghold that we must pull down is the idea that the believer should look sad and gloomy whenever they're going through a difficult time. We think that the devil's having his heyday with us, using us like dust rags. This ought to not be, beloved. We must speak God's word over the state of our emotions as well. It is indeed possible to change the state of your mind through the word of God. Satan tries to destroy you through your mind. Remember that. Allow the Lord to direct you. Have you ever heard the voice of God through the thick of the night and thereby you get your victory? All right? It wasn't because you were smart. It wasn't because you were taught. It wasn't because you were so good. But it's because, just because you learned to say, listen, Lord, I love you. I praise you. I'm in trouble, but I still love you. I have trials, but I still love you. I don't feel well this morning, but I still love you. I don't feel well tonight, but I still love you. I have bills I can't pay, but I still love you. See, David said this, I will bless the Lord at all times. Yes. And then over in 2 Kings 3:15 say, but now bring me the musician. Then it happened when the music played and the hand of the Lord came upon him. In the scripture, beloved, Elijah requested a musician because he saw the need of music. I tell everywhere I go, especially when I minister, I appreciate the musician. But not only do I appreciate the musician, I appreciate anointed musicians, saved anointed musicians. We too need music in our church, all right? Music can change your attitude and your emotion within us. Okay, so turn on some music in that car. Put on some music in that house. It is an ability to mold and shape your thoughts. We have an assortment of instruments, drums, tambourines, organs, piano. One king obtained the victory just because he had an orchestra with him. Read the word, beloved. The musicians of the temple of the Lord played musical instruments until the enemy of Israel became confused and started killing one another. Look at this. That word is here again, confused. The Lord will confuse your enemy to where they'll kill each other. God loves music, beloved. He says this, if you want me to move, play me some music. Give me someone who has an instrument. When Saul was possessed with demons, listen, David played his harp until the demons left Saul. There is something about the anointed music of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, it is. It shifts. Somebody say shift. It was shift, and so it was. The scripture, 1 Samuel 16:23 said, and so it was whenever the spirit from God was upon Saul that David would take a harp and play it with his hand, then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Anointed music, beloved, would drive out demons, trouble, and sickness. That is why you must be very careful about the type of music that you allow to enter your soul, for it has great effect on your inner man, meaning your spirit man. Get some anointed, powerful music. If you want your body to be healed, get some music that speaks healing to your body. Elijah said this, give me someone who will play me a song. The Bible said that when the minstrel began to play, the word of the Lord began to flow out of Elijah's mouth. Don't you allow anyone to take your song from your lips. You may lose friends, but don't lose your song. You may not sing well in the hearing of other people, but keep your song. You may croak like a frog, but keep your song. David said, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye land. Paul demonstrated this. If you have a song, listen, you can sing your way out of jail. If you have a song, you can encourage yourself, beloved. Even when there is nobody around to encourage you and you feel all alone, if you have a song, you can encourage yourself in the Lord. Let me hear it. We're about time to wrap up. The Lord is my strength. Exodus 15 and 2 said, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. God will move, beloved, when you start praising him. When you start to praise God, he will come in the middle of your drought, in the middle of your wilderness, in the middle of your dry place, and say, I got a plan. Now, that's a good place to shout. In that intimacy, Matthew 4 and 10 say, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Whatever we worship is what we ultimately will end up serving. Our nature demands that we worship something. What we worship is up to us, okay? To experience true worship, you must first develop a relationship with the Father God, with your Abba. All relationships are dependent upon good communication. For us as believers, prayer is the means of communicating with the Father. This relationship could be likened to that of a man and his wife. There's a sense of intimacy, closeness, and oneness. It is the closeness that you can never share with anyone else, beloved. When a man and woman first get married, their relationship is new and exists on the level of looking deeper into each other's eyes. Yes? This is called what? The honeymoon stage. At this stage, each worships the ground that the other walks on. You know that if you've been there. Their focus is on each other. But as time goes, the honey dries a little and the moon begins to lose its luster. The newness in the relationship begins to wear off, giving way to the different dimensions of their relationship. They begin to know each other and move to a more intimate level. They can feel each other's hurts and desire. They'll avoid what will hurt or jeopardize their closeness. They don't hide anything. Rather, they express their feelings in confidence and trust. They trust each other with their weaknesses and their shortcomings, and confident they will not be used against them. Listen to this. This is the kind of desire that the Lord wants us to enjoy with him, beloved. A close relationship leads to intimate worship. There are different kind of gods we also may find ourselves bowing down to, so be so careful. Some of us worship our children, some worship our money, some worship sin, some worship themselves while worship all kinds of things, your paycheck, your reputation, and so forth, so forth. Romans 1 and 25 said this, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie? And worship and serve the creator rather than the creator, the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Have you ever observed a Christian who recently got saved, beloved? He or she worshiped God with a deep gratitude from their salvation. The first stage of a romance of a man and a woman, using that example again, is often referred to infatuation. This is also typical of the first stage of a relationship with Christ. The dictionary describes infatuation as to behave foolishly, inspired with foolishness and unreasoning love or attachment. However, as we mature in the Lord, that type of attraction takes a new and higher dimension. Infatuation, like romance, operates more on feelings than reality. Amen? Praise God. Let's wrap it up right here. When a man falls in love with a woman, he might have been her beauty, her figure, or attractive. But after marriage, he wakes up in the morning to her rollers, her bad breath, three children, whatever afterward. But the same commitment must be defined in that relationship as the Lord. We must graduate from the point where we praise and worship God only for not for what he does for us. We must praise and worship him for who he is. Beloved, thank you for joining me on this week. I love you in Christ. There's nothing you can do about it if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I extend to you that you invite him into your life. Make him the head of your life. Repent from your sin. Go to the scriptures, Romans 10 and 9. have everything to gain and nothing to lose. I love you. Be kind. Not only be blessed, but be a blessing. Good evening.